You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Today I made slime.
Today we're going to be taking a look back at the Third Doctor, whose era ran from Season 7 to Season 11. That's from January 3rd, 1970 to June 8th, 1974. That's 4 years.
It's a pretty long time.
We got through it in about a year, right?
Like, if you were a four-year-old Doctor Who fan, it's all you've ever known.
True facts!
We got through it in how long?
A year? Maybe a little less? I'm not sure.
Congratulations, us.
So, but today we're going to be taking a look back at his era and some of the stuff he's done and the companions he's had. We were going to do a Sweet 16, taking this top 16 serials and trying to figure out which one's the best. But we had a tough time doing that, narrowing it down, so we're just going to do all of them.
Well, here's my concern about doing a bracket this time around. I don't super remember individual serials. I remember, like, things that happened. I propose that we did, like, moments that were, like, the best, because that's what I remember, and Joe wasn't having that.
No, yeah, because people like countdown lists of episodes. They don't like countdown lists of moments.
Well, I'm just saying, don't be frustrated when I'm not contributing very much to this bracket. When I just go, sure, your opinion sounds good. I have, like, a top four that I strongly believe in. And then everything else is kind of hazy.
Yeah, but when I was like, let's get rid of this one, you were like, no, I like this one. Because I got rid of six.
Because it had good moments.
And you couldn't get rid of one.
I got rid of three.
Yeah, three of my six.
Yes, I confirmed three of your six.
You're very frustrating, but I love
you. There were good moments in those, and that's what I remember. And I don't remember how they functioned overall as a whole. I just remember, like, that's got that scene in it that's funny, though.
I'll be here, and I guess I have a bit of a stronger memory than you do. I can be like, because you also had the problem, like, I remember stuff, but I don't remember what episode it's or what serial it's attributed to.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, you can't cut this one. It's got this whole bit. I'm like, that's not
that
serial.
That didn't happen in that serial at all. You're thinking of something else. That's why I have trouble doing these. Because I don't remember things that happened. I think in these, we've done these look back serials before. I'm almost positive I've been like, oh, I loved that one. To one, like, on the podcast that I was like, it was awful. Just because of, like, what I can and can't remember.
People, go back and check on that. Check and see if Tony is consistent.
I doubt it.
I'm probably pretty consistent, because I know which ones I don't like in this era of Doctor Who. Which, I gotta say, it's surprising. There are a lot that I think are really solid.
Really, really good, yeah. I don't know. Depending on the TV show, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, well, that's the episode. Sometimes I know, like, I know all the episode titles, and I know which ones they are. And sometimes I just have, like, a hazy impression of the season, and it's sort of random of when it is. Like, I couldn't tell you a single individual Buffy episode. I mean, maybe, like, two or three. Like, the ones that are, you know.
Really?
Like, I could tell you the body, and I could say, you know, the musical one.
This one's more with feeling.
But
I can tell you probably 90% of the Buffy episodes. Angel episodes? No. They all kind of run together, except for season 5.
But for some reason, I could tell you the majority of episodes of, like, season 4 of Doctor Who. Which, even though it's one of my favorites, I have to admit, not, like, the strongest season of Doctor Who ever. It's just one I find particularly enjoyable.
I think it depends a lot on if it's more standalone or a serial. And actually, some of these, even these serials are sort of like,
a lot of the serials are kind of,
a lot of stuff happens. They're not as standalone, I'd say.
A lot of stuff happens, and also they're repeating a lot of the same themes and stuff to the point where you're like, Oh, okay, but like, which time was that when like side character wanted to start a war, but another side character didn't? Which episode was that? Because the answer is like five of them.
Yeah, let's just dive in. What is your like opinion overall of the Third Doctor era and the Third Doctor specifically?
Probably what we should have done is taken a look at our predictions.
I don't remember what our predictions were.
I remember my prediction was that I thought it was going to get a lot more campy, which was true in some ways, and in other ways, not at all. Like, there are definitely campy episodes.
Campy moments.
Campy moments. But more than that, there was a lot of, like, really strong, dramatic, and, like, really interesting themes and, like, political stuff going on.
Moral dilemmas. Yeah. Too, yeah.
From what I was expecting was just going to be, like, the Karate Doctor. That, I mean, he's definitely also the Karate Doctor, don't get me wrong. It had surprisingly more depth than I was expecting.
I agree. I will say the Doctor himself, okay, there are more campy moments, but I kind of wish the Doctor himself had been more campy.
Yeah, a little bit more fallible.
He almost takes himself too seriously. Even when, like, fun stuff is happening. I've seen Jon Pertwee in other stuff, and he does funny voices, and he's more comedic, and I wish he'd brought more of the comedy to the Doctor. Not that there isn't any. I mean, he's definitely Karate Doctor. He's definitely the magician, you know?
He's the one who I associate with wrestling rubber monsters, because he pulls such great faces.
But the thing is, I feel like he's less alien, almost. He's just a more typical action hero, and that's less interesting to me.
Yeah, I was all gung-ho when we were starting 3. I was like, I know this is, like, what I've mostly heard from people is, like, oh, yeah, he's a doctor. He's the one, like, after 2 and before 4, right? I think I've heard of him.
That's how numbers work.
Yeah, like, that seemed to be most people's reaction was underwhelmed, I would say.
Which is, and there's also some people that it's their favorite doctor.
Yeah.
We've also come across some of those too.
But I would say the majority of the responses before Enter, I mean, obviously once we had done it, we had a lot of guests on who really enjoy 3 and that's why they wanted to be on. But it seemed like overall the response was kind of underwhelming. And I was like, I'm all for like having this underrated doctor be like my new favorite. Yeah. To be fair, there's a lot about 3 that is so good. And if you just kind of are like, oh yeah, he's an okay doctor, and like are skipping it, you're missing out on so much good stuff. And he is, like, at the end of the day, he's the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest stumbling block I have with his stories are what we already said. He's a little bit too infallible. He's a little bit too untouchable in his own. And the moments that I really, really like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that moment where he goes and Sarah Jane thinks she's being rescued and he's like, ah, actually, I've also been captured. And
or there's that moment where he's like, peace out, you guys all suck. And then accidentally just transports himself into a garbage bin. And has to be like, you know, I wasn't very serious about that.
So anyway, I'm on the one hand, I really adore this doctor. Definitely still think he's underrated. And also, kind of see where the more underwhelmed reactions were coming from.
It doesn't help that I would say this doctor is more misogynistic than our previous doctors.
In some ways, yeah.
Chris Cherry said something to me, this is specifically about Twice Upon a Time, that he did have a problem with the way that the first doctor is sort of portrayed as like heavily misogynistic, which I mean, there definitely is moments of misogyny in the first doctor's run, but he's like, the way the first doctor is being written actually feels more like the third doctor.
I think part of why it's written that way is more of just a stand-in for, if we never at all progressed, we'd still be in this era. And it's frustrating for somebody who, like, really likes one and has, you know, somebody who's, like, gone through all their stuff and has a good handle on their character to see him sort of stand in for that when you're like, okay, well, really, it should probably be a different doctor. But thematically, it makes sense to me. I could see being frustrated at, like, okay, but it's not right for his character. And that's...
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I can sort of see how it is more of a 3 thing. There's a good handful of him being, like, talking down to his companions, his female companions, I feel like.
Well, part of it, I think, is just that he's supposed to be arrogant overall. The way in which he's arrogant is sometimes sexist, if that makes sense. He'll be arrogant to anyone, sort of, like, talk down to them. But the way in which he will talk down to his female companions is like, explicitly because they are female. That right. happens a handful of times throughout the run. Again, not so much so as it's like, well, this doctor is sexist, and I hate him. But it's a thing that's present.
It is.
It's a thing that happens. I mean, and it's balanced out, too, with, like, you have that moment where the doctor is like, hey, Sarah Jane, why don't you talk to this alien about women's lib? They could probably learn a thing or two about you.
Most of the problem with it, I think, came from early on in Joe's run, where he's being very, like, dismissive of her. It's probably, I mean, it makes sense because... I don't know.
It makes sense because she's not a scientist. He wasn't that way with LaShaw. And a lot of that sort of grumpiness, I think, is supposed to be read as, like, well, she's a unit guy. She's right. a military, you know, person who I want to have no part of on account of, like, the last time I trusted the brig, he blew up a whole bunch of people.
Him and Joe definitely get along better as it goes on. But I feel it's almost more because she becomes more like him. And I feel like it'd have been better if, I mean, there is some of it of him just learning to be less of a jerk, coming to terms with who Joe is as a person. But I wish there'd been more of it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, he's sort of down on Joe, but then becomes less down on Joe when she starts learning things from him. But it'd been nice if there was also more of him learning things from her.
Hmm.
Not that there isn't any.
I feel like sometimes when we, like, point out things that, like, we didn't like or didn't care for, they kind of become artificially overemphasized.
Right.
Where, like, it might be like, yeah, that kind of happened once or twice and we didn't care for it. And hearing that, sometimes people are like, wow, they really think that this doctor is, like, really sexist. And it's like, no. No, it's more like a thing that happened once or twice that we noticed and that, like, we're going to discuss because, like, that's part of what we do.
How would you say this doctor compares to 1 and 2?
I have such a hard time ranking them because they all do, like, one thing really well. And they don't do the other things really well because they're doing a different thing. They're all the best version of their doctor. But I guess just on, like, pure enjoyment... Oh, wow. I just got surprised by my own answer because 2 was above 1. It'd be 2, 1, 3.
Yeah, same. 2 is a lot of fun. And I think 1's a lot of fun, too. And I think 1, he gets a lot of reputation as being grumpy and old. And
I mean, that's something that I find enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's far more likable than 3. I think 3 is likable, don't get me wrong. But again, he's more the stereotypical action hero, which is fine. But I don't find it as interesting as, like, the old guy running around doing adventures.
Yeah, I think that is part of, at least insofar as, like,
polished,
our experience watching it today, 3 is a hero we've seen a lot of, and 2 and 1 less so.
2 and 1 are more unique, I feel like, whereas 3 is almost a product of other media. He's kind of like the 60s Batman and James Bond.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's for, like, a fact. Like, he definitely, you know, he's got the, like, the gadgets and stuff, and he seems like more of what was popular at the time than just being the doctor.
Yeah, which, again, isn't bad. It's just when you're, like, looking at all of them together, you're like, well, those two things that I've seen less of are inherently more interesting.
But, I mean, there is a lot I like about him. He makes some fantastic faces.
Also, we were going through the list of serials while I was trying to remember them. There, when we were, like, looking at the beginning of the season, I was like, that's a solid serial, that's a solid serial, that's a solid serial, that's just, like, down the list of, like good episode after good episode after good episode. For, you know, an era where we're stuck on Earth for a good chunk of it, and, like, there have been, like, a lot of things cut back in a lot of ways. There are a lot of really good ideas in this era.
I think he is good. I'm not trying to sound so down on him. I like when he does comedy.
Also, every story I've heard about him personally is adorable.
Like the Whomobile? Like he had the Whomobile commissioned. Like, that had nothing to do with the show. He did it himself. And it's like, let's put it in the show. And they're like, oh, all right.
Okay.
Sounds good. I feel like he definitely increased the popularity of the sonic screwdriver.
I love the gadgets in this era of just like, I've got, you know, a stick that does this. And you're like, yes,
I have this
good
tracking device that looks like a penis. He sells being attacked really well.
Oh my God, more than he has any right to.
This is the best doctor we've had for action. Every serial has at least one big action set piece.
Yeah, as much as we talk about one all day, there are whole serials where I swear to God they're just walking from point A to point B.
And or now, he just goes and takes a nap.
And now in this era, we have whole serials that are just a car chase.
We've had car chases, we've had sword fights, we've had all sorts of stuff. Boat chases, multiple boat chases, speed boats, hover boats, all sorts of boats. It's more action than we've had before, which I like that. And I like I said, I like the goofy faces he makes all the time, like when he's getting strangled by tentacles or if he's getting strangled by a telephone cord. He bugs his eyes out and it's fantastic.
This is also really the introduction of the Master.
And I mean not the introduction of Unit, but because we've had serials
Unit
before.
Yes.
But this is like the...
This is the era of Unit.
Unit. Yeah.
It gave you Benton.
Gave me Benton.
And sometimes Yates.
And sometimes Yates. Yeah, let's talk about the Master real quick. I liked him a lot, and I'm really sad that he passed away and didn't get to sort of finish his arc.
Yeah. He's a Time Lord. He'll be back. I just love the idea of him as an asshole who has, like, just a room full of masks of his own face.
He's the one who really brought the camp, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah. Which is delightful. God, there are so many moments with him where he's just being evil, and you're just like, what is your plan?
There is a season where he's in every serial. I mean, the first season that he's in.
You don't care.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does. You are a little bit like, oof. Okay, maybe cut back a little bit because you're overusing him. But still, he's amazing. You don't care that much.
Yeah.
And then once they do sort of like only bring him back for special occasions, it's even that much better because you're like, oh, he's back.
He's here to be delightfully hammy.
And it's always good. He's so good.
I think one of my favorite things about him is his introduction, where he kind of basically shows up after the Doctor gets like sentenced to Earth. He shows up, makes a mess, and kind of gets away, and it's just, somebody says something to the Doctor about, like, how he's just gonna be around for a while, and isn't that awful? And the Doctor just sort of smiles.
Yeah, he's just so excited.
There's a part of him who's like, finally, something to do, which is why I've always thought the Master was there in the first place. Mm. Like, all of his plans are so bad. He knows they're bad. He just knows that the Doctor is stuck on Earth and bored, and he's gonna give him some shit to do.
It's also kind of nice to give the Doctor a sort of antagonist that he's never really had before. Sure, he's had the Daleks and the Cybermen and the monsters, but he's never really had a sort of recurring human. Well, not human, but you know.
Humanoid.
Humanoid villain.
Yeah.
To go against.
He's never had a Moriarty.
Yeah, the closest he's probably had is the meddling monk who was only in two serials, but this is the first real, like, Moriarty, like you said. I mean, that's definitely who he's sort of based on, too. So, because it's a bit of Sherlock meets James Bond.
It's fun. Would you like to do our bracket?
Well, let's talk about the companions. So now most people would probably be like, there are three companions. I'm going to say there are six. Do you want to do it like, list them all and then say who's your favorites and count down? How do you want to do this?
I don't know, because almost all six of them are on a pretty even up at the top for me.
Five of them are for me.
Why don't you just go ahead and give your list and I will comment on it as I see necessary.
Okay.
Start at the bottom.
Yates. which is probably a surprise, because I imagine there's a lot of people that don't really think of Yates as a companion. But I count him. He's in multiple episodes. Did he travel in the TARDIS? I don't know if he did or not.
I don't remember. Here is my thing, because there's a lot of discussion about who counts as a companion and who doesn't. And I feel like a lot of people's definition is, if they traveled in the TARDIS, they're a companion. And to me, it's more like, if you're in multiple serials, if you've had more than one storyline, you're a companion. Because there are people who are, you know, traveling the TARDIS for, like, an episode. The only reason why that definition doesn't hold up, I feel like, is because there are a lot of really big Sarah Kingdom fans, and that technically excludes her.
Well, also, your generous definition would also include people like, I don't remember his character's name, but James Corden, the late night host who did the lodger.
Yes, I think he would technically qualify.
The guy from, was it Flatline and Face the Raven, the graffiti artist?
Mm.
Do you not count him?
I guess I would. I wouldn't remember.
Strax.
I like him a lot. Yeah, Strax is definitely a companion. Strax and Madame Vastra and that whole crew.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you count Alpha Centauri?
Yes, I would.
Well, she's not on my list. Because it's more like he went and visited her twice.
That's true. I don't... But, like, especially in the case of Unit.
Unit, I feel like they went on multiple different adventures together. Like...
So what, it's three?
A series.
Not two. It's got to be more than two? More than two adventures together and then you're a companion?
See, like, Unit and the Doctor are going on adventures together. Mm. But, like, with the guy from The Lodger, it's more like the Doctor going to him twice. Than, like, them going on adventures together.
Like, if they're always in the same... Like, they never traveled.
Yeah. It's less, like, going on an adventure with the Doctor and just, like, the Doctor's doing an adventure and they're there, I think. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Well, all right. So, continue going through your list.
Well, do you have any other comments about my bottom, Yates?
Yates is your bottom?
No, that's not what I meant.
Suddenly a lot of things are starting to make a lot more sense.
There are theories that Mike Yates is gay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I think there's even a bit in one of the commentaries for the demons. It's like the Brig and Joe are on the commentary. And there's that bit at the end where everybody's dancing and celebrating. And Yates is like, Yates and the Brig are together. And Yates is like, you want to go get a drink? And the Brig's like, yeah, that's better than this. Because the Brig wants a drink. He just wants to drink because he's an alcoholic. And Mike Yates is hitting on the Brig. There's actually a gif of that, of Joe saying, the Brig is an alcoholic and Mike Yates is gay. And I think it largely has to do with that scene.
That's amazing.
And I am not 100% positive, but I think the actor who plays Mike Yates is also gay. In real life, so.
I think you're a little bit too hard on Yates.
The reason I am not so big on Yates is less to do with Yates and more to do with the fact that he's not Benton.
All right, so above Yates is...
Okay, this person is pretty low and I feel bad about it, but Sarah Jane.
I feel like that's fair. Not because Sarah Jane is bad, but because she's going to get ranked again and probably be near the top. She'll have her day.
I was about to say she also has like the least episodes, but that's actually not true. That's going to be a companion who's higher up. But the person who's had less episodes deserves a higher ranking just because. But yeah, Sarah Jane's going to go on to be, I'm pretty sure she's going to be high up, if not the top of Four's list. But I mean, we'll see. We don't know. But yeah, I like Sarah Jane. I feel like her character is a little wobbly right now. I don't think it's fully settled in.
Oh man, I just realized you're going to be mad about my ranking, but continue.
All right, so that's number five, right? Number four is Benton. I love Benton. But, you know, he doesn't get as much screen time as everybody else, so he doesn't have as much of a character arc. Actually, that's something...
Sarah Jane? You put Benton over Sarah Jane?
Yes. I love Benton, okay?
Okay, continue.
Actually, I was going to say, Benton doesn't really have much of an arc, but Yates actually really does.
Yeah, Yates grows a lot. A lot happens to Yates.
Yates has a traitorous turn, and it works really well.
And then he kind of comes back. That's part of the reason why I don't like him.
Yeah, okay. The thing is, he also has a redemption arc, but that redemption arc isn't really that good.
It's not that serial's not good. It's that he doesn't really get to do a lot of being redeemed in it.
Yeah, there's also not a lot of him being regretful in that at all. He's just like, hey, let's go on another adventure, and I'm just going to be the Yates that I used to be.
The problem is not that it's not there, but it's that it's just sort of... It's either implied or talked about briefly.
It should have been more of the focus, but you can't really have it be part of the focus because the focus is that this is the last serial of the Doctor of three. The traitor turn works really well because it's shocking and surprising and believable.
And to you, very vindicating.
Yes, but the redemption arc doesn't work quite as well because it is so sort of rushed. There's aspects of it that are sort of glossed over. I feel like if you did that in Modern Who, there'd be like a lot more like, how can we trust you things, whereas they just sort of go along with it. So after Benton, number three is the Brig.
Yeah.
Did you forget about the Brig?
Yeah, a little bit.
The Brig? Oh, you remember Benton and Yates, but not the Brig?
I remember Benton and Yates because you have such strong opinions about Benton and Yates. Yeah. I knew they were going to factor into your thing.
Yeah, definitely the Brig. It's... Counselor, and he's way up there. He's part of the core team. And I love him. He's great. It's weird because he's been on the show before, but I wouldn't have counted him as a companion before. Because he's met
two.
Two. Twice. Yeah, that's how I would count it. See, the Doctor visited Unit twice in S2, visited them for adventures, whereas in this era, he's going with them on adventures.
Okay, so they have to, like, leave their original location.
Well, I mean, not necessarily a location. I mean, they could just do stuff at unit base, and that's fine. But it's like, they're part of a team, and not just there for that specific adventure. Is that, I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense. Anyway, yeah, 3 is the Brig. I love him. I love his mustache. It's sad when he loses his mustache on that one serial.
I love the Brig.
I do too. He's hilarious. Has that smirk.
Yeah, he's able to, like, say a lot with a very small facial expression. It's nice. Where it's like, he has, like, almost not at all changed his face. And yet now I know he's very annoyed. But, like, otherwise, I couldn't tell you how, because it basically looks like he's making the same face.
That is accurate. All right, number 2, Joe Grant. I love Joe Grant, but her writing is a little inconsistent. Sometimes she is written like a child, and other times she is not. I prefer the times when she is not. And I mean, there is sort of this arc of her sort of being more naive and sort of becoming less so, but it's uneven. And again, sometimes that naivete is less being naive, and it's just, yeah, I feel like they wrote her thinking she was younger than she was. I don't know. But yeah, she is really treated badly in some of her serials. But I still like Joe, and I think Joe, I mean, hey, we have the same name, so I have to like her a little bit.
We got like a Joe and a Ben, and I'm waiting for there to be a Tony.
But yeah, she's fun. Her and the Doctor have a great sort of rapport. There's a lot of episodes that work solely because it's the Doctor and Joe being cute. Some episodes work better because of that. Like, I feel like without that, it would have been a bad serial if there wasn't that chemistry there. I don't know. She's very energetic and fun.
Number 1?
Liz Shaw.
See, I feel like that's going to be a surprise to a lot of people, considering, like, how little Liz Shaw's in it. But it also feels really necessary to put her as first.
She was treated badly behind the scenes.
Yes. And I think, in order to rectify the situation, she needs to be made number 1. She's a great companion who doesn't get enough screen time.
I feel she's way more solidly written than Joe Grant was.
Or even Sarah Jane. Who, again, I love. I think, would you like to see where our rankings differ?
Yeah.
Liz Shaw, same. Joe Grant.
You gotta throw the Brig in there since you forgot about him.
I don't know if Sarah Jane or the Brig goes in the next one. I guess I'll put the Brig, then Sarah Jane.
Okay.
I was gonna do it the other way around.
Then you're gonna have a gender divide.
Well, and also, like, the Brig has just been around a while. He's a friend. Sarah Jane, she's a new friend. And at the bottom, I would put Benton and Yates, both on the same tier.
One of them turned into a delightful baby.
God, that scene was great. But for, like, most of the time, I couldn't have told you which one was Benton and which one was Yates. Only by, like, the reaction of how angry you were when he was on screen did I know that it was Yates and not Benton.
Benton's got the, like, adorable face. And, like, Yates is more angular and thin and,
for, like, 90% of it, I was like, that's one of the unit guys. I don't know if it's the unit guy I'm supposed to know or the new unit guy I'm supposed to know. It's one of the unit guys. And it wasn't until later on, till, you know, we got to about where we are that I had a good handle of, like, that one's Benton, that one's Yates. And it's mostly because you had a very particular reaction to them.
Benton has a more rounded, flushed face and is like teddy bear cute.
Okay.
And he's always sort of doing that sort of aw shucks face. You know what I mean? And it's adorable. And he has that line where he's like, are you sure you don't want to send me? I'm expendable.
Oh, like, man, that scene got me a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. Whereas Yates actually has a little bit of the problem that I have with the third Doctor, and that he's just straight up action hero cool guy.
Benton, you want the underdog.
I do. Benton is sort of sometimes like, oh no, I'm getting involved in this thing, and it's, oh no, I'm so conflicted, you know? And it's like believable, and he's relatable. And Yates is just cool guy, action hero, love interest for Joe, which I did not care for. Okay, so Benton is like, hey, Joe, can you get me some of that food? It sure does smell good. I know I'm not supposed to have any. And then Joe's like, oh, yeah, sure. And then Yates is the guy that comes up and is like, you know, pulling rank on him and like, rank has its privileges, saying you can't have that food and get out, and then eats it himself, which is a jerk move.
I think that's when you really started to hate him.
Yeah, it really set up his traitor plot really well. That's where we stand on the companions.
That's where we stand.
Like it or else.
Like it or else you'll just have to disagree with us, I guess.
It sounds like I almost have Benton at the top. He's not, but I do really like him. Always Benton, never Yates.
Sometimes Yates.
Nope, sorry. All right, let's do the tournament. I have...
Ooh, you have a little bracket thingy right in front of us.
Yeah, I found like a generator.
How is it already filled out on round two?
There's 24, so it's got like 8 brackets, and then they'll go up against these other ones, and then they'll...
Okay, okay.
I don't know. We'll just do whatever this thing does.
So,
I randomized it too, so...
Colony in space.
Well, I had to hit start the tournament, I think. All right. Colony in space versus the mutants, which are two of the ones I was going to cut out.
What happens in Colony in Space?
All right, let's do a brief overview. Colony in Space is the first time the Doctor got to travel to space. He'd been in space before, but in a ship. This is the first time he gets to go to another planet in the TARDIS.
Okay, where does he go?
Fuck if I remember. It's a boring-ass serial. He goes to the planet. There's a colony there. They've basically stolen the land from the aliens that live there, but you're supposed to be on their side. There's the other humans that are coming in trying to take the land themselves. There's the silent aliens that take them to their mountain where the only good thing happens, in which there's a tiny little brain Muppet that sort of, like, wobbles on a chair that comes out of the wall. The mutants. It's a similar situation, I think. There's a planet that is covered in, like, poisonous fog, I think. Something like that. That's mutating people.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They're turning into these giant bug dudes. And there's the one guy who... They have an elevator, basically, to the spaceship that's hovering around it. And he's sort of gone power crazy in there. But there's also the leader of the people on Earth who also mutates but turns into a giant gay space ghost, like rainbow
color. I'm
going to
put the mutants over Colony in Space because it does have a gay space ghost.
I agree. The mutants all the way. Next up, we have the Green Death and Death to the Daleks.
Which Dalek serial is Death to the Daleks?
Death to the Daleks is the one with the Star Trek people and the mining, and there's the snake robot. There's the timekeeper from Comedy Bang Bang. They go into the puzzle pyramid that has the floor cliffhanger.
Oh, shoot. That has an excellent... That's not a great serial. It has some really excellent cliffhangers, and that one side character is great.
Yeah.
The timekeeper.
But it's up against the Green Death.
And the Green Death's much better.
Yes. The Green Death is the one with the maggots, and it's the last serial of Joe.
Oh, okay, okay. Move the Green Death on.
That was easy. We're flying through this. Next up, we have Spearhead from Space versus The Claws of Axos.
Okay, this is a tough one.
Not for me, but
because,
okay.
Well, what I remember about The Claws of Axos is that it looks great. And then its plot is kind of wobbly. But it looks great.
It also has UR.
I don't super remember Spearhead from Space.
Spearhead from Space was the very first serial. It has the Doctor in a wheelchair escape. It has the terrifying Autons for the first time. That denim jacket and the terrible face. And also there's the scene where they like...
This
they're
isn't the
busting
Auton
on them.
One with the devil doll, though. That's the next one, right?
Right. I think it's actually terrifying and really well done.
Shoot, I don't know.
And the Doctor fights a giant tentacle monster at the end of it.
Damn. Okay, move Spearhead from Space on.
Sorry, Claws of Axos.
I was gonna say, I couldn't really... What I remember about Claws of Axos was that the set was killer, the costumes were killer, and I remember being kind of underwhelmed by everything else in it.
Next up, we have Frontier in Space versus Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Oh, that's not fair because I love Frontier in Space, but I'm not going to not move on Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
They're both really good.
I can't believe I'm about to do Milo Clancy like that.
Stop.
What?
Milo Clancy is in the second Doctor.
Which, what's Frontier in Space then?
Frontier in Space is the one where Joe and the Doctor go from cell to cell to cell to cell, having adorable conversations. It's the one that has the Master. The Ogrons are back. And there's that great cliffhanger where it's like, oh shit, it's the Dalek. The only time the Daleks actually work this entire season.
I'm still, my answer holds. I want to move on Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Invasion of the Dinosaurs gets a lot of flack for having really shitty looking dinosaurs, which fair, but it's well written. It's really well written.
There's a lot of really good stuff in that. And I like the cheesy ass shitty dinosaurs. I find
I do too, to be honest.
I find their badness enjoyable.
I would also say Invasion of the Dinosaurs. I really like Frontier in Space, though.
Yeah.
Moving on. We have the Sea Devils versus Inferno. The Sea Devils, by the way, is the snorkels to the Silurian Smurfs.
My gut instinct is to go Inferno because I remember a lot about Inferno and I don't remember a lot about the Sea Devils.
All right, let me refresh you a little bit. Inferno.
Inferno's got like
the alternate universe and it's amazing.
Yes.
The Sea Devils has the Master in prison watching cartoons.
Oh, man.
And a fantastic sword fight between him and the Doctor.
It also has that line where the Doctor tells the Master he needs to work out more. Rude.
I really like the Sea Devils, but I really, really like Inferno.
Really like Inferno. Yeah, move Inferno on. Then I'm looking at the next pair up, and you don't even have to tell me one of them because it's Paladin, and Paladin's moving on.
Okay, but let me get there first. So next up, we have Doctor Who and the Silurians versus
good.
The Curse of Peladon.
And the Curse of Peladon's great, though.
The Silurians, by the way, are the Smurfs to the Sea Devil's snorkels.
Curse of Peladon's tops.
Alpha Centauri, the Ice Warriors. Ah, so good. More like gray Ice Warriors. Wow, we've kicked off both the Silurians and the Sea Devils.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. They were just paired up against things that were better than them.
You know what else is in the Doctor Who and the Silurians, which you're kicking away? The third Doctor in his white t-shirt.
Oh.
Also, the brig killing the Silurians, which was surprising and shocking at the time.
Man.
I know, but still, Curse of Peladon is a far better serial. Next up, we have the Time Warrior versus the three Doctors. Ooh, this one's tough. The Time Warrior is the one that has the first appearance of Sarah Jane Smith and the Santarin, medieval setting. I really like the Time Warrior. I really like the Three Doctors, too, because, you know, it's great to see two.
Here's the thing.
One again.
The Three Doctors is fun. The Time Warrior is good.
I think the Three Doctors is really fun, though.
Yeah, that's true. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It has that weird-ass special effect with the goo thing going around. Ugh. It has Omega, emo king of the Time Lords. I'm voting Three Doctors. If you can give me a convincing argument for the Time Warrior, I'll take it. But I'm all Three Doctors.
Which one is the Time Warrior?
The Santarin in medieval times. Blood Axe and first episode of Sarah Jane, where she says she's a journalist 37 times. There's the one scientist with glasses.
Okay, I'll go with Three Doctors. You've convinced me.
By telling you what the Time Warrior was?
Yep. Because I might have been thinking about the Time Monster.
Oh, no, yeah, that would be more difficult. Three Doctors, moving on. Next up, we have
Ooh.
Carnival of Monsters versus Planet of the Spiders.
Carnival of Monsters. I don't want Planet of the Spiders to feel bad, but Carnival of Monsters.
I will say this. Planet of the Spiders has by far my favorite episode of the Third Doctor. Which is the one where it's like 50% of it is a chase of some type or another. But overall, it's a little
I'm not
wobbly.
Not moving Carnival of Monsters onto the next round.
That's
so
fair. Cerna and Vorg and the Drashigs. Oh, so good. I'm in agreement with you. I really like Carnival of Monsters. Planet of the Spiders is important and good, but sorry, you're not moving on. Next up, we have Day of the Daleks versus the Mutants.
I don't super care about either of these. The Mutants?
Yeah, I would pick the Mutants. Day of the Daleks, because we already talked about the Mutants. Day of the Daleks was possibly my least favorite episode, at least favorite serial of three. It had the Ogrons and the time travel loop and was boring and awful. Sorry, it's not good. I don't even remember any redeeming quality for it, to be honest. I didn't like it. So, Mutants, you're moving on, surprisingly.
Now that was kind of a weak bracket.
All right, next up we have the Demons versus the Green Death. All right, we already talked about the Green Death.
I don't even know, Joseph. I almost feel tempted to put the Demons on just because because the Green Death already went through a round. Does that even make sense?
No.
I like the Demons, though.
I like the Demons, too. I actually think the Demons over the Green Death. The Demons and Green Death both have their problems. The Demons has a very ridiculous love conquers all ending. They defeat the
Here's
giant
Here's what the Demons
demon
has going for it, though.
Bonkersness?
Yes.
Green Death isn't very bonkers and also has a thing I don't really care about. Joe's love interest just being like, we're getting married. Yeah. What?
Yeah, let's move on to Demons.
All right.
I always gotta vote for the one that's more bonkers. where you're just like, I don't know what's happening, but let's go.
Next up, the Time Monster versus Spearhead from Space.
The Time Monster.
Yeah. The Time Monster does have a problem where it jumps to Atlantis for an episode I don't care for.
But also but it has Baby Benton.
Yeah, it's so bonkers and it's so good. And I like Spearhead from
Space. Spearhead from Space might be the better episode.
But Time Monster is way more fun.
Yes.
Spearhead from Space is really solid, though.
I feel weird about saying that. Like, yeah, if I actually, like watch both of them back to back and you ask me which one of these is, like, just
better.
I'd probably be Spearhead from Space. But, like, Time Monster stands out in my mind as being one that was like, what is happening? What are we doing?
Right.
And that, to me, is always going to, like, push it over the edge of me really enjoying it.
All right. The Time Monster moves on. Next up, we have The Ambassadors of Death and Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
This is another one where The Ambassadors of Death, pretty solid serial. I really want Invasion of the Dinosaurs to go all the way. I want Invasion of the Dinosaurs to be our top.
I like Invasion of the Dinosaurs way better than The Ambassadors of Death. The Ambassadors of Death, I think, is good, but it's kind of generic and has a terrible ending. It just sort of stops. Like,
push Invasion of the Dinosaurs on through.
Let's do it. Invasion is solid. It just has some goofy-looking dinosaurs, but they're fine.
We're about to make Invasion of the Dinosaurs our top episode of the three era.
We'll see. Next up, we have The Monster of Peladon, which is the second one, versus Inferno.
I'm going to have to go Inferno.
Inferno. Yeah, I agree. I like Monster of Peladon, but it's...
It's not as iconic as Inferno is.
Or even The Curse of Peladon. It's a little bit repeaty, but it's still good. It's really good. But Inferno is moving on. Returning champion, The Curse of Peladon versus The Mind of Evil.
Oh, man. This bums me out because I like The Mind of Evil, but Curse of Peladon, move it through. I assume you're not arguing with me.
No. But anything you want to say about Mind of Evil before I ship it off to the graveyard?
I always enjoy when, like, the Doctor has to make faces.
He's like, also like a giant floating ghost at one point.
This is the serial where we establish his canon Zarby fear, right?
Yeah, canon Zarby fear. But Curse of Peladon moves on. Next up, we have returning champion, the Three Doctors, versus Planet of the Daleks, which I can't tell you anything about. I think there's invisible people on it, and it's 90% just the Daleks, the first Dalek serial.
Okay.
Three Doctors?
Yeah.
I don't like Planet of the Daleks. It was in my bottom three.
You seem to have a strong opinion, and I don't have a super strong opinion, so I'm going to give it to you.
Since we're here, let's talk about it. I don't care for any of the Dalek serials.
This whole season.
The only time they kind of worked was in Frontier in Space, where they were the cliffhanger. And then this episode followed up that cliffhanger and was awful. Just boring and dull.
I do have go through periods of like, okay, we've used the Daleks.
My problem is...
Let's not for a while.
They're all the same serial.
They aren't doing any new and interesting things with them.
The best Dalek serial was maybe Death to the Daleks because you had that ridiculous puzzle pyramid. But even that just wasn't very good. Maybe it's just I'm not a fan of Terry Nation. Sorry, buddy. Just the Dalek serials have been bad this season.
They do, because they are Terry Nation, too, seem kind of out of step with, like, everything else. Like, it definitely feels like you have somebody else just come in who...
Trying to write for the first or second Doctor.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have returning favorite, Carnival of Monsters versus Terror of the Autons.
No!
This one's hard.
It's really hard.
Terror of the Autons has the Devil Doll.
Terror of the Autons is so good.
The Devil Doll.
I really like Carnival of Monsters.
The evil chair that eats people.
Like, I'm tempted to push on Carnival of Monsters just for Shurn and Vorg.
Shurna and Vorg.
Thank you. Shurna and Vorg's outfits alone. But a Drashics. Chair eats someone!
But also, Carnival of Monsters, they get really small.
Oh my god, you're right.
It's tough. They're both so silly and great in their own ways.
My gut says Carnival of Monsters.
I'll go with your gut. Sorry, Terror of the Autons.
Oh, I feel bad about it, though. It doesn't feel good.
All right, now we're just going to have all repeats. So, next up we have The Mutants versus the Daemons.
The Daemons. The Mutants has no business being this far into this thing.
It's just, it's been up against shittier
serials. The Mutants should be gone, and Terror of the Autons should be up here, and I'm upset that that's not how it played out, to be honest.
All right, next up we have The Time Monster versus Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Do you know what my gut says?
I know what my gut says.
My gut says dinosaurs.
My gut says dinosaurs.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, Time Monster. Dinosaurs is moving on.
The Atlantis plot kicked it out for me. It's worse than the dinosaurs. It's really bad that the worst part of Invasion of the Dinosaurs is the dinosaurs. Because everything else about it's great. All right. So
no, I refuse to do this one.
Next up, we have Inferno versus The Curse of Peladon. I'm going to say Inferno.
I'm going to say The Curse of Peladon.
I think Inferno is super solid.
God, you're right. But I really enjoy The Curse of Peladon. Can we call for a tiebreaker? Did we arrange that?
We didn't, but I can try calling Chris.
He's going to think somebody's died. I butt dialed him once and he was like, what happened? Is everyone okay? We don't use the phone.
This is going to be a surprise call to Chris Cherry. I'm going to put him on speaker.
I was going to say, the last time we did this, we were like, hey, heads up. We had certain people like designated tiebreakers, and we did not think ahead this time.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hey, we're recording the podcast, and we need a tiebreaker.
Oh, of course.
So right now, the two that are going up against each other, this is not the final bracket, by the way. There's still more to go. We just need help on this one.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah, obviously.
It is Inferno. Ooh. Versus The Curse of Peladon.
Inferno.
Damn it!
Told you!
It's like, oh, I love Curse of Peladon. Curse of Peladon is so fun. It's so fun, but, like, the things that, like, Inferno is doing are smarter, and also Inferno is, in some ways, it's not quite as fun as Peladon, but it's also just, like, really fun and goofy and just like evil Brig. Like just the way that like it kind of like total like it just does all the stuff that it's one of the smartest Doctor Who scripts I've ever seen.
He's not wrong.
I agree.
All right, Inferno moves on.
Thank you.
We might call you back. We got more to do.
Here's
still.
The thing. That's fair. I feel like this situation is why perhaps Sweet 16s are flawed. Throwing that out there.
Fair enough.
We're actually doing a Sweet 24. We couldn't narrow it down.
We just did all of them.
Yeah.
Might as well.
All right, but...
All right, well, yeah, I'll keep my phone nearby.
Thank you, phone a friend, Chris Cherry.
All
right. Inferno moves on. Next up, we've got The Three Doctors versus Carnival of Monsters. Oh, man.
Carnival of Monsters is the better serial, and you know it.
I don't know that.
Yes, you do. The Three Doctors is fun. Carnival of Monsters is the better serial.
I actually prefer Three Doctors, I think, but I'm going to go with Carnival of Monsters because I know if we call Chris, he'll just say he'll say Carnival of Monsters. He's not super big on the Three Doctors, I don't think. Sorry, too. All right, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. We have The Diamonds versus Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
I almost don't know how to do this.
I'm edging towards the diamonds.
I'm edging towards the dinosaurs just because I want to see him. I just want to see the episode that's mostly known for shitty dinosaurs win the whole thing. But you're right. The Daemons might be the better serial.
Daemons has the master summoning the devil.
You're right. Move the Daemons on. I'm sorry, Invasion.
All right, the Diamonds has moved on. Next, we have Inferno versus Carnival of Monsters. I'm going with Inferno. I love Carnival of Monsters. I do. It has some down moments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you even remember what the plot is with the three gray aliens and their revolt?
No, but they're hilarious. I remember that.
But remember how great Inferno is?
All right, move Inferno on.
Yes!
Inferno's going to take it all after I tried to vote it out, because it's better than the Daemons.
It is. That's our final
it's
bracket.
Inferno. Do you want to inform Chris Cherry?
Yeah. I'm going to call him back and let him know. But yeah, it was the Daemons versus Inferno, and it's definitely
and
Inferno.
And it's definitely Inferno. What if it had been Inferno versus Invasion of the Dinosaurs?
It would have been Inferno. Yeah. Inferno's my favorite. Getting Chris Cherry back on the line.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so I don't even need to read you the question. I'm winning $1 million!
Fuck, I hate you. Oh my god. I'm pretty sure I watched that live.
I think I did too. Yeah.
Oh, that was a moment.
It felt good.
It did. Like, it's kind of a dick move, but also, like, not. Like, it's so, like, you're with him. It's, like, it's so much showboating, but I love it. Anyway.
That's, like, my favorite millionaire moment. My least favorite is the time that Norm MacDonald got fucked out of $1 million. He got all the way up there, and Regis talked him out of doing, because he's like, yeah, that's it, final answer. And he's like, are you sure? It's a lot of money on the line for charity. And he talked him out of it. And he guessed it right. He would have won $1 million.
So Regis, like, stole from charity.
He did.
Basically.
Basically, because he
He did.
Anyway.
So
that's not important. Dr. Who.
Yeah. we're just calling to let you know, Inferno swept the board.
It's because it's very good.
After you pushed it through, it went all the way.
You're instrumental to its
peakiness. I can't in good conscience say that there's a Third Doctor serial that's better than it. If I was really sitting down and being like, oh, what would my number one be? Like, it might be The Daemons, but like...
Oh, that's what it was up against.
Yeah, I'd say The Daemons and Inferno are the two best ones.
They're the ones who made it all the way.
Confirming our results.
Yeah.
The Daemons, like, is a little more fun, maybe, and, like, it's doing a lot of stuff. It's a little bit, like, just everything about Inferno works.
Inferno's fun and good, and a lot of times that's like, well, this one's fun, but this one's good.
Good, yeah.
And Inferno's exactly. Both.
I mean, I would argue that, like, Daemons is good, but, like, it's sort of, it's good in a slightly sillier way.
It's got the master, you know, summoning a demon.
It does.
But
it really does.
Inferno is, like, a little more messed up, I feel like.
I love the break.
It's true.
Eye patch.
Yeah, it's, like, yeah, it's just one of the, again, it's one of the best Doctor Who scripts ever.
And, like, literally the world is destroyed at the end of it. Like, he does not save that universe. He can't.
He does not. He lets a universe go. But it's not ours, so who cares?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that due to your interference.
Due to my interference.
You got it to the top.
All right. That was the right choice. That was the right thing that happened.
All right. Thanks again, sir.
You're very welcome.
We'll see you in the Fourth Doctor.
Indeed.
All right. Bye. All right. We did it.
Yeah. There you go. Inferno.
Inferno for the win.
Inferno is the best Third Doctor serial.
You heard it here. And probably other lists.
So what did we, what made it to twos?
I believe the Mind Robber was the Mind Robber versus War Games.
Oh, yeah, those are both good. And it was The Mythmakers, a missing serial for one.
Yeah.
We voted tops.
It's because it was so good.
I feel good about that.
Woe to the horse, you know?
Woe to the horse.
You feel good about that?
I feel good about it. I feel good about where everything fell. The mutants definitely went too far.
Mostly because it was up against even worse serials, yeah. If that's possible.
But I feel good about, like, this final four. And I feel good about who won.
See The Daemons, see Invasion of the Dinosaurs, see Inferno, see Carnival of Monsters. They're all
tops.
Great. They're all top tier.
If you had to rank Inferno, Mythmakers, The Mind Robber.
Number one, or let's start at the bottom, because you always want to start at the bottom and work your way up, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Number three is The Mythmakers. It's good.
It doesn't exist.
Well, it doesn't exist. It's a historical, which is nice. We don't have those anymore. Number two would be Inferno.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
After all that, and we talked up Inferno so much, it's not the top.
No, it's definitely The Mind Robber. The Mind Robber is amazing. It is fun and good and silly and terrifying and amazing. It's so just... unabashedly weird, and I enjoy that. There wasn't really any. I don't think there's any serials that are in the Third Doctor's run that it's just quite that weird. Time Monster gets pretty close.
I think that's really. There's been a post going around Tumblr that's like, "What's your favorite flavor of Doctor Who? Like, what is it that you kind of expect out of the show?" I think for it to be unabashedly weird, that is our favorite flavor here at the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Yeah, does that line up with yours, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we did First Doctor cereals, I think I pushed Edge of Destruction to the top tier, which for most people, Edge of Destruction is...
Bottom tier.
Yes, is a bottom tier. But for me, just the fact that you spend so much of the time going, what are they doing, is like a tick in its favor. What do we have left to do?
We've said goodbye to three. We'll miss you.
I don't want to.
I am sad to see three go.
Yeah.
But I am so pumped to see four. I am so excited for four.
It's true. I imagine he's a fan favorite for a reason. And not just that he's the Doctor for a long time.
Do you have any predictions about where the Fourth Doctor era, what's going to happen in it? I know nothing about it. I know it's Tom Baker.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a scarf. I know Sarah Jane is there.
There's the Jelly Babies involved. I know that.
John Cleese is in an episode. Douglas Adams writes for this era.
Not for a while is what we were told, correct?
Right.
Not right away.
So I imagine the humor is probably going to pick up a bit. And from what I've heard, Tom Baker is just more weird, which
I definitely get the sense that he's going to be very alien, but like enjoyable. Right. Not alien and like cold. Alien, like just a big old weirdo.
And that sort of like wide-eyed, what's all this then? Sort of adorable.
Like what all can I do? What all can I touch? What can I get my hands into? Let's go.
And I feel like Sarah Jane is going to just get better and better.
And I already know that once we get through four, five, I've seen large chunks of five, who I like a lot. So
that has nothing to do with four, though.
We're doing
predictions of four, Tony.
All right, okay.
Don't jump the gun.
Okay. How long will we be in four's era for?
The longest. I'm pretty sure he's the longest... He has the most episodes. He's the longest running Doctor. Actually, you know what? He might have less episodes, but he ran for longer. Because some of those, like First and Second Doctor...
He has like four episode serials.
Yeah, whereas like one and two had like 12 parters.
I wonder if it'll be easier for us to get through once it starts getting more...
4-4-4-6.
Formatted.
4-4-4-6. Yeah.
Yes.
I think we actually have a two-parter coming up really soon. So I'm excited... I think it's going to be funnier. I think it's going to be weirder. I think it's going to get more experimental.
Which we've already established is, like, something we really enjoy when the show is doing. So if it gets weirder, like, let's go.
I think we might also get a little more lore-heavy.
More Time Lord sort of stuff.
Yeah. We've spent a while sort of doing standalone stuff, and we've just introduced the Master... And the Time Lords. And I think we're about out of just introducing new concepts and more just exploring those concepts.
Right. So the Doctor is a Time Lord. So what do Time Lords do? Let's go meet some and let's go to his planet and see what that's like. And
I think that's what's going to happen.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it. Let's go.
All right. Let's start.
But let's end this podcast, though, so we can go do that.
Yeah.
What is the Geekly Oddcast? It's a panel show of television.
I mean, seriously, where else was I supposed to go and watch Gomez Adams ride a rocket ship on a railroad track?
Gaming.
And the dice say... 17.
Oh my god, 17 is Mystic Quest. And whatever comes to mind.
Why does Zod need a starship?
Alternating Thursdays on The Geekly Oddcast.
If you liked this episode, you can listen to more on WatchYourRassilon.com. You can also listen to us on iTunes, and while you're there, be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. Give us a review. It really helps us
out.
Please
give us a review. It jumps us up. It helps us be seen by more people. And generally, if you leave a review, we mention it on our website.
If we know that it's been posted... Apparently, iTunes separates out by country, which is ridiculous. But anyway. But yeah, we really appreciate all of your thoughts and comments. And just, yeah, keep in touch with us. We like hearing from you guys. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's always fun.
And also, just reviews on iTunes help us get seen more. So please, please do that. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourRassilon.com/support. And there you will find a link to our Patreon page. which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records where you'll see Tony playing with some gross, gross slime that she made earlier today.
That's what slime sounds like.
Disgusting. And we're also doing live streams now. So when we frequently do contests and such to give out links to that. It is available to all of our $15 or more patrons, but we also try to get more people
If you're in that, you have access to that $1 Patreon feed. That's where we'll occasionally give links to our $1 patrons, because we want you guys in there too.
And also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, I'd like to give a special shout-out to all of our Friends of Rassilon.
All of them.
All of them. You guys are great. I'm going to do this in alphabetical order because that's the way I put it on the website. First off, we've got a Z. What? Oh, it's alphabetical by last name. Zoe Allen Wickler. Of Indigo Izzo. I want to say it's indigoizzo.tumblr.com. That's IndigoIseau.tumblr.com. I think she's also I Spy Science. Thank you. You are a friend of Rassilon. Woo! Brie Castellini. You can check out BrainsWebSeries.com or Undead Burrito Productions.
Also,
or,
while you're at it, go look up Sam and Pat, the first seasons on YouTube right now. It's Brie, friend of Rassilon, and frequent guest Christopher Cherry. It's really good. It made me feel feelings. You should watch it. It's like 13 minutes the whole season is. So, like, go.
30 minutes.
30?
It's less than 30 minutes, but it's not. It's okay. It was more than 13, I'm pretty sure.
It's like less than 30 minutes, the whole thing. So go watch it, binge it right now. It's really, really good.
You didn't say the title, right?
It's Sam and Pat Are Depressed.
Yeah, don't just look up Sam and Pat. It's Sam and Pat Are Depressed. Really, really good. It's fantastic. Shout out to Elliot Cooper of docwithtardisfez.tumblr.com. He's our friend. You probably saw him when we did the Christmas Quiplash night. He's really cool. He's been on the Projectionist Project a couple of times, too. He's really awesome. And next up, we've got a name I don't know how to pronounce. Lena Feliciano. I don't know anything about you, but thank you. Ray Friesen. RayFriesen.com. You know him. He's been on the show before.
He's got a book out. You got a book out.
Yeah, we co-wrote it. It's called The Princess and the Pterodactyls by J.B. Hivamond. It's spelled Hive Mind, but it's pronounced Hivamond. We've been getting some reviews on it, and people seem to like it. We got compared to the Myth Adventures series by Robert Asprin, so if you like those, you'll like us.
That's what somebody on Amazon said, anyway.
And if you can't trust people on Amazon, who can you trust? Me. You can trust me. It's good. Go read it. Shout out to Matt Golden of mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. He's gotten us so many of the episodes, and also employs us. So, thanks, Matt.
I don't know if we've ever straight up said it on the podcast before, but yeah, Matt hired both of us.
So, thanks for that, sir. Next up, we got Lily, bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com. She reblogged so much
of
our stuff. Her
blog is so cute.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
I follow her on Tumblr, so... I follow all these people on Tumblr, though. Next up, we got Ian McLean, who I mostly know from Twitter, and he's been on some of the live stream. He's watched some of the live streams with us. He always comments on our Twitter posts and everything. He's really fun.
Yeah,
I like him a lot.
It makes us feel less like we're just shouting into the void when people respond to our tweets. And also, he always has something fun and interesting to say.
Next up, we got Melissa of Malice Rewatches Doctor Who .tumblr.com.
I feel like Melissa is one of our oldest friends of Rassilon. She's not physically old. She's been around a long time. She's been a patron the longest time.
Yes, she was our very first patron, and she was a guest on a couple of episodes as well. So thanks for being a big part of our podcast, Melissa. Yeah. And then we have Jason Perry. Don't know you, but thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that people like the show. Rachel S., who joins in on the live streams and stuff too, has a lot of interesting things to say.
Always learn a lot from Rachel.
And lastly, we have, due to Alphabet, not in our hearts, Carrie Varner of patreon.com/Carrie Varner.
She is an amazing artist, you guys. I haven't really talked about it much on the podcast, but I'm a pretty big Ninja Turtles fan. I could have an entirely separate podcast about the Ninja Turtles. I have a series of prints from her that are all of the Turtles and Splinter, and she has a Shredder, but I haven't bought it yet. It's on my wish list.
You also have a Rigel from Farscape.
I do have a Rigel from Farscape. If she painted more from Farscape, I would probably buy the whole series too.
That Rigel is really good.
It's great. Her art style is amazing. Check her out, especially if you have any sort of geeky art needs. She's good for that.
And just thanks to everyone who's listening and who reblogs all of our podcast episodes and reblogs our GIFs. And just thank all of you.
When is this episode going to go up?
March.
March what?
6th, I think. Shortly after my birthday.
Well, your birthday is the anniversary of the podcast. So this is a look back at 3, but this is also an anniversary episode. We've been doing this for 3?
I think 3 years, yeah.
3 years now.
3 years, 3 doctors. Yeah, thank all of you. We wouldn't be doing this still, I feel like, if there wasn't all these people being so nice to us. Because I feel like we're like, yeah, we'll do it because it'll be fun. It'll be just, I mean, for us to do, even if no one listens to it.
Yeah, it's a project for us to do together.
But I think it's even better now that, like, so many people like it. So I'm glad we've done this.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited to do more. I'm really excited to jump into the Fourth Doctor. So we'll be back next time for the first Fourth Doctor serial, Robot, with special guest Ben Padden.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked to that barrel of legs. See you then. Keep calm and razzle on.
Goodbye, and I love you with all of my heart.
I am the Doctor.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.